The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 23rd, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, here we are in Sonoma County once again. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I woke up this morning, the sun was shining through the windows, and I said, wow, this is a good day to be alive. Anyway, I'm very excited about today's program. I had scheduled a woman by the name of Alexis Callow, who was part of the community member of the GAS, the Grayton Against Synthetic Pesticides, and she was unable to make it. Unfortunately, she had a death in her family. So my condolences go out to Alexis and to her family, and I will be rescheduling this. And I'll talk a little bit later in the program about what their program is, because I think it's so important that folks understand what's going on, particularly around pesticides. And also this morning, I'm really honored to have joining me on the phone will be Sabra Brie, who is one of the leaders of Indivisible Sonoma County. Let me tell you a little bit again about Indivisible. I think they're a very, very important organization, particularly this time in our life. They are a group of dedicated people. They are a grassroots movement of literally thousands of local individual groups to help to elect progressive leaders. And Sabra will talk a little bit about that, and she's also going to give us a little bit of a report of all the protests that went on across the United States. It was really very, very interesting. Here in Sonoma County, we had over 1,000 people signing up, but what was interesting is it looked like almost 1,000 people showed up. We're estimating it was close to 900. That's what we're estimating at, but it really, really turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful event, and Sabra will be happy, I know, to tell us about it. She's she was my eyes on the ground, so to speak, because what happened is that we had so many events going on. I mean, it was amazing. You know, around Christmas, there's so many things, so many charitable events going on and all the different things. And we had a death here at KBBF, one of our programmers, Francisco. Ken, what was Francisco's last name? Do you remember? I'm sorry. Forgive me. My notes somehow got lost. But anyway, Francisco, who was really a dedicated announcer, programmer here at KBBF, and my condolences go out to his family. I mean, you know, we had this horrible, horrible fire about 2 years ago here in Sonoma County, and people like Francisco made sure that they were on the air and let people know that what was going on. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the year. It's just amazing. This has been one of the most amazing years of my life, and it's gone by so quickly that it's mystifying to me. And, you know, through the years on Women's Spaces, I've been giving history lessons, so to speak, and because I believe our history is our strength. Now, why do I say that? Why is our history our strength? Well, I'll give you an example of how I see it as my strength, how I glean strength from it. One of my heroes is Ida B. Wells. She's an African-American woman. She was alive in the early 1900s. She was a reporter. She actually went on the fields and was reporting all the lynchings that were happening in the South. I mean, her life was threatened. All kinds of things happened with her. When I read her story, for some reason, my strength increased. I thought to myself, if this woman can do this, I can also do something. So that's why our history is so, so important. And trust me, we have a lot of history to be proud of. And also, just to remind folks, here in Sonoma County, we have the National History Alliance, who is one of the co-founders, is a dear friend of mine, Molly Murphy McGregor. And just to remind folks that here in Sonoma County, we have a lot to be proud of when it comes to women's history and getting the information out. So let me give you a little bit of a history lesson this morning. Let's start with 1806. On December 25th, 1806, Martha Wright called for the first women's rights convention in Seneca Falls in 1848 with her sister Lucia Mott, Elizabeth Stanton, and other presidents of women's conventions in 1855 in Cincinnati, Saratoga, and Albany. She was a founder of the American Equal Rights Association in 1866 and continued working for equal suffrage during the Civil War. So a shout out to Martha Wright, and that's December 25th, 1806. Can you believe that? That women, we have been fighting for so long for what? For our rights. It's just amazing. Well, here's another interesting thing. This happened on December 28th, 1894. Listen to this name. B-U-R-N-I-T-A. Bionetta Matthews, suffragist. As a young law student in the District of Columbia, learned that she could carry a banner outside the White House but would be arrested for not having a permit if she spoke, stayed silent, and avoided arrest. Gained admission to the bar in 1920, worked for the National Women's Party, chosen as federal district court judge by President Truman in 1949. Wow, when you think of these women coming forward like this. I mean, in a time when, you know, all they wanted us to be was barefoot and have babies, for heaven's sakes. Well, here's another interesting thing. On December 28th, 1894, well, no, I just gave that one. Excuse me. Let's see when the next one is. Number four. I'm looking for number four. Here we go. Number four. On December 22nd, 1912, Claudia, I had no idea that this was her first name, Claudia Lady Bird Taylor, later on became Lady Bird Johnson. She was the first lady from 1963 to 1969. She was an advocate for civil rights. She was the national chair of Head Start. She led to the beautification efforts across the country involving environmentalism, conservation, and anti-pollution. Oh my goodness, a shout out to Lady Bird. You have no idea what a difference. You know, first ladies can make a big difference. You know, they do. They have a lot more power than we do. And it's amazing what Lady Bird did. And also, I understand that she was very famous for planting flowers all around the White House to make sure people enjoyed the beauty of the day. Well, here's one more. I'm going to give you one more date here, and that's December 29th, 1937. Thea Bowman, the first black Catholic nun to join white Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in the 1960s and worked with issues of racial inequality. Now, to some people, you know, you say, well, why is that history important? This is the first black woman, first Catholic nun. You know, we have to do a shout out for our African American sisters and all our sisters of color for what they have contributed. And today, when we think about it, when I think about it, what I really want to encourage my women listeners to go to my website, www.womenspaces.com, and read the poem, I Am Women, I Am All Women, and see if you can sign on to that idea. Because as women, we are not the minority, we are the majority. And we better start acting that way, or our world is going a little bit too crazy for me. Well, one last rant I'm going to do this morning, because I have little rants, especially around the holiday. I mean, the holiday season. I had to go shopping like everybody else, and I'm looking at the crowds, and I don't see much joy. I see more frustration in people trying to buy something. And I made up my mind this year, I am just going to enjoy the holiday season. Now, there's a bunch of controversy around that saying, holiday season. Like we're trying to take Christmas out of the holiday season. No, we're not. But when you start looking at history, or you start looking at what the facts are, I don't know, maybe we're a country that doesn't like facts. There are 9 winter holidays that are celebrated around the world. And one of them, when I went on the internet, I didn't even know happened because Ken got an email from one of his friends in Sweden. And let's start that out. They're celebrating. They call it Yule Day, where they go and they light Yules, I guess, or they celebrate around the fire. But that's their tradition. So let's go through some of these holidays. You know, let's start thinking about it. I mean, nobody is trying to take Christmas away from anybody. You know, everybody has a right. You know, we live in the United States of America. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech. We have the opportunity to believe whatever turns us on, whatever makes us happy. You know, God is kind of a funny thing, you know. I don't know. I haven't met God, but I have a feeling when I go into the garden that I feel that there's something greater than I am. But let's look at these holidays. You know, let's just think about it. You know, why don't you take notes? You might share it with your friends when someone all of a sudden starts accusing you of, oh, you're not saying Merry Christmas. I always say Happy Holidays because if you want to say Merry Christmas, my suggestion is, ask the person, what holiday do you celebrate? If they say Kwanzaa, you say Happy Kwanzaa. If they say Hanukkah, you say Happy Hanukkah. If they say Christmas, you say Merry Christmas. If they don't say anything, you say Happy Holidays. So let's go through the different holidays. As you can tell, you know, it's the end of the year, and, you know, what a blessing. You know, Ken and I have been able to do this show every Monday for the past 12 months. I mean, we did have that little break when, you know, we had that little issue in March when Ken had to go to the hospital, which was a terrible, terrible thing. But we survived it. We survived it, you know, and here we are celebrating holidays with family and friends and looking forward to it, actually. So let's go through the 9 winter holidays around the world. The first holiday, which we're in the midst of right now, is Hanukkah. For 8 days each November or December, Jews light a special candle holder called a menorah. And they're celebrating the fact that at one time they were trying to leave, I believe it was, they were leaving Egypt, and they didn't know if they had enough oil. And the oil lasted for 8 days. And so that's how they celebrate Hanukkah. That's for 8 days. Now it's December. We just started it about 3 days ago. The Jews light a special candle holder called a menorah. And we celebrate life. We celebrate the beauty of the day. Then you go into the next thing. It's called the Three Kings Day. You know, I have women on my mind. The Three Kings Day. At the end of the 12 days of Christmas comes a day called the Epiphany, or the Three Kings Day. Very, very interesting. So that's at the end of the 12 days of Christmas. That's called the Three Kings Day, another holiday. And then right now, just 2 days ago, and Ken made me very much aware of this, we had the winter solstice. It's the time at the midwinter. It occurs when one of the Earth's poles has its maximum tilt away from the sun. Can you believe that the Earth is tilting? I mean, we live in this magical universe. You know, we don't even look at it that way. You know, we think we're just stuck on this planet running around, you know, with all the politics and all the horrors that go on each and every day lately. You know, we forget we are children of the earth, and the winter solstice reminds us of that. And then they have another different holiday, which I think is really interesting. It's called St. Lucia Day, Lucia. So if anybody's got some good history on that, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. The only thing I found out about this day is there's some race that's running, and I'm not sure about that. And then we have, which is already passed, December 6th. By the way, that's my sister's birthday, is December 6th. It's called St. Nicholas Day. St. Nicholas Day, also called the Feast of St. Nicholas, is observed on the 6th of December or the eve of the 5th of December in Western Christian countries, and the 19th of December in Eastern Christian countries, using the old church calendar. So it's kind of interesting, all these different holidays. So that's why I say when you meet someone, it's okay to say happy holidays, or I hope you have a good holiday season. And they might say, well, I'm a Christian, I celebrate Christmas. And you say, you know, Merry Christmas. And here we are, Christmas. Christmas is this year, you know, Christmas Eve is going to be tomorrow night. You know, I'm very happy, you know, that we're going to be doing some really fun things. Sandy, I can't believe it that every Christmas Ken becomes the Santa Claus of the neighborhood. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just so exciting. But, you know, the true message of Christmas is found in the Bible. Before Santa, before the present, and Christmas trees was the original story of the nativity, the birth of Jesus. Christians will tell you that Jesus was born in a manger in complete poverty. When crucified on the cross some 33 years later, now this says he would save humanity. Well, you know, it's very interesting. Like I said, I went shopping and I look at all the people and people are so frustrated, you know, and prices. I mean, with these tear-offs that are happening, pricing is a lot higher. But at the same time, you go into these retail stores, you see 70, 80, 90% discount. You say to yourself, we're in trouble. Well, we're not in trouble because we can't find gifts. We're in trouble. We cannot give ourselves the gift of what Christmas is really about. First of all, nobody knows if Christ was actually born in December, but we still celebrate that as the birth. And it's a beautiful story. There's a beautiful story about behind it. And supposedly this was the birth of the Prince of Peace. Well, just look around us. There's more wars going on now than I could ever remember. I mean, if that's what's supposed to be happening, I say forget the present. Let's all sit down and say, hey, we got to improve our present. We got to stop all these wars. We got to stop this hunger, this poverty, and this hatred. I mean, I cannot believe some of the things that come across our televisions now as far as racism goes and some of the comments that are made, even by our president. It's really very, very sad. So Christmas is a very important holiday in my mind because you're celebrating the idea of peace and love and that this Savior was born. And this child, it was a child. I mean, what are we doing to the children at the borders? Why? Is this child that was born in a manger, is that any less than this child or any more than this child at the border? I mean, come on, a child. We're celebrating a child, and yet what are we doing for children? Cutting food stamps. You know, housing. I see children on the streets now sleeping out. I mean, this is not acceptable to me. And at the same time, we're running around trying to buy all these gifts, celebrating Christmas. Let's start thinking about it, folks, especially women out there. And I think the most important thing is if we're going to get presents, let's celebrate the present. Let's celebrate each other. Let's celebrate the fact that we do live on a beautiful planet called Earth. Well, that's a lot to think about. You know, sorry if I made a little bit of a rant, but you know, my heart is broken on so many levels when I see the hate and the ugliness that's coming out of some people's hearts and minds. I mean, come on. Start thinking about it. Anyway, let's do the last holiday because I don't want to leave out my African-American sisters and brothers. Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is a week-long annual celebration held in the United States and other nations of the African diaspora in the Americas to honor African heritage in an African-American culture. It is observed from December 26 to January 1st, accumulating in gift-giving and a feast. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Well, happy holidays to everybody. And also the New Year's coming up. 2020, man, we're going to be celebrating 100 years since women got the vote. And remember, on January 18th, we are having the Women's March in downtown Santa Rosa. And not to forget that. I mean, it's a very, very important event. And also, I want to do a shout-out to the, I call her the organizer. She gets mad at me when I say that. But Leslie Graves, a shout-out for all the work she's doing on the Women's March. And I know it's going to be a huge success this year because we've got a lot of things on our hearts of late. You know, it's really interesting right now when you think about, you know, we're in the process where I was talking to Ken as we were driving down to the studio about the whole thing on the impeachment. One thing I didn't realize that no matter what happens, this president has been impeached. And the most important thing is, you know, back to celebrating Christmas, celebrating the peace, the Prince of Peace. you know, thinking about the Ten Commandments, thinking about religion and all the good things that it brings to us if we would just listen. I mean, sometimes the collective, the interpretation they have is not the same interpretation that the forefathers or the foremothers who wrote those things meant. But the idea behind Christmas is the birth of the Prince of Peace. And so maybe on some level, all of us should ask, how can we have peace on earth? How can we do this thing that doesn't seem possible? I mean, when you look at history, I mean, we just saw this. We were watching a five-season, what do they call it? I guess it's, you have five seasons and you have different episodes. And we were watching this this program called Poldark, P-O-L-D-A-R-K. And it took place in England around the 1800s. What do you think they were doing? War, the French Revolution, the English were afraid they're going to be attacked by the French, on and on, you know. So here we are, December 2019, and we're celebrating the Prince of Peace, and look what's going on in the world. So maybe it's the time we start thinking about peace. And I'm going to take a little musical break here. And what I did was, is I picked a song. Of course, here I'm talking about peace, and this is also a women's show. I want you to listen to the lyrics on this show, on this song, very closely. It's a song sung by a woman by the name of, I love her name, it's Joan Armatrading. It sounds like arms trading to me, Armatrading. And here she wrote this wonderful song, If Women Ruled the Earth, the World. And this song is a lot about some of my beliefs, to be honest with you. The most important thing is that women can do is to get involved. You know, get involved in the process. If we want peace on earth and a better world for our children, we must be involved. You know, that's why I'm really looking forward to bringing my guest on, because this is a group of women, lots of women, lots of men too, but women, it's women driven on so many levels. And I wonder, I ask myself, what would happen if women ruled the world? So let's listen to Jane Armatrading and let's see what she has to say. And when I come back, joining me on the phone will be Sabra Burry, who's from the group called Indivisible. And we will be talking about the impeachment protest that went on during last week.
Loving your sweet ways, loving the funny things you say, loving the silence wrapped in my man's arms at the end of the day, loving the way you make me feel that women rule the world. If women rule the world, it will be a good thing. No more war, no more hate, women can fight, but talking's great behind your back to your face. They'd rather talk than murder. Not all men kill babies, but a woman would rather kill herself than see a child suffer. Women are carers, they were born that way. Like Mother Nature feeds the world, a woman will think of her child first. No more sons dying young, women bore sons for living. No more war, no more hate, women can fight, but talking's great. Behind your back, to your face, they'd rather talk than murder. Thank you. a good thing. If women would rule the world, if women would rule the world, if women would rule the world, it would be a good thing. Like Mother Nature feeds the world, a woman would rule the world, her child first. No more sons die young, women bore sons for living.
Wow, what a song that is, If Women Ruled the World. Well, it might be a good thing. You know, you sometimes you wonder when you look at some of the votes women have taken of late, you wonder, you say, if they ruled the world. But there's a theory that if you have 65% of women at the table, the chance of having peace is a lot higher than if they're not there. Well, the song is a lot to think about. I mean, when I first heard it, I certainly thought a lot about it. Well, anyway, for you folks just joining me, you are listening to KPBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, or its members. Wow, that's a lot. I'm telling you, that song just really got to me. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest who's joining me on the phone. Good morning, Sabra Bria. How are you this morning, Sabra?
Good morning, Elaine.
It's always such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. That's very flattering.
Well, make sure you come close to the phone so we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you right now.
Okay, good.
Sabra, give us a little background about yourself. You know, I really appreciate you coming on. You're going to give us a report about the rally that happened here in downtown Santa Rosa, and there's been rallies going on. I believe there were 600 cities across the nation that joined in. Can you talk a little bit about that, and then also give us a little background of what Indivisible is and what they are involved in and how they got involved with this process?
Well, that's a lot, so I'll be really quick. I'm a very recent resident of Santa Rosa, at least to me. I moved here from Ann Arbor, Michigan in 2017, just the day before the inauguration and 2 days before the Women's March. So I have been here very little time, but one of the very first things I did was get involved with Indivisible. Indivisible was itself very new at that point. It held its first organizing meeting the week after I moved here. And we have been going strong ever since. The purpose behind Indivisible is really to hold our elected officials accountable. Particularly, the focus was on holding members of Congress accountable because Congress members were, it was unknown how they were going to behave in the age of Trump. And so the big concern at the time was that we would be dealing with a lot of political issues, a lot of legislative issues where we didn't want the Republican members of Congress to vote in certain ways. That failed. Republican members of Congress either voted in those ways or they left Congress. There are very few old-style Republicans left in Congress. But as a result of all of that effort, members of the public who had never been political before got very involved in Indivisible and have since gotten very involved in political campaigning. A lot of people are having an on the ground, in the act, civics lesson, stuff that they never paid attention to before. How you vote, why you vote, what matters, what difference it makes if you vote. And they've been encouraging others to vote as a result.
You know, when you talk about people are getting a civics lesson, they're really, I mean, I feel I'm learning more about our Constitution now than I ever have before. And I think it's amazing. It's an amazing document. And one of the things, too, you know, the idea that our president would say that our Constitution is a hoax or that this process is a hoax is so shameful to me, you know, because it's written, it was written in a way. I mean, these were our forefathers came from the deepest oppression. I mean, we're watching this program called Poll Dark, which gives us an insight into what was going on in England at the time, particularly with the poor. And, you know, when you start thinking about what the United States accomplished and what we have been doing over the past 250 years now. And the Constitution has never been perfect, but it's flexible and we've made improvements. I mean, originally the women didn't even have the right to vote. You know, I mean, we still don't have an equal rights amendment, but people need to realize that when someone calls our Constitution a hoax, you know, we have to scratch our head and say, hey, what are you talking about, particularly since you're sitting in your living room on your couch watching any television program that you like to. So anyway, let's talk about the impeachment rally now. What was its purpose and what were the themes? I mean, what was the whole idea and what were the posters, any good posters that you saw?
Well, there are always lots of creative signs and from my perspective, the best signs were the ones that somebody had taken the time to really light up so you could read them, but also so they were funny. Somebody had ordered a bunch of helium balloons from Amazon. I think they got them filled here, but they were baby Trump balloons.
Oh, and they that must have looked great.
It was funny. But for all the humor, and there was humor, you know, there were puns and jokes. The suggestion that the president's next running mate would be the president of Russia. The suggestion that that Trump would be impeached with an imp and a peach. And all of those things were funny. The humor, some of it not necessarily polite humor, is a mechanism for dealing with the stress of this presidency.
Well, talk about, you know, when you talk about the stress of the presidency, talk about what was the general feeling at the rally. I mean, how were people, were they angry, were they hopeful? What was the thought? And I understand our local paper estimated several hundred, and I actually had two people call me, and they told me it was between 900 and 1,000, and you said 1,000 people signed up, and you feel they're around 900. So what's your thought on that?
Well, I think that we're somewhere in the upper hundreds to the low thousands, and I really don't know. I don't have that knowledge about how to estimate how big a crowd is. What I do know is that the crowd lined both sides of Third Street at Santa Rosa Avenue.
So, and my goodness.
So it was a good-sized crowd, and as I pointed out to somebody who was mourning that it wasn't as big as the Women's March, he said the Women's March was planned for months, announced over and over again, arranged to be in the daylight on a Saturday. There's just a lot of differences between the Women's March and the number of people who could attend. And holding a rally at 5:30 in the dark with less than 48 hours notice.
Well, I think it's amazing. And, you know, the thing about marches, you know, I know there are people out there, they say, oh, what does it accomplish? But, you know, it's interesting. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to this one. It was really sad that we had to miss it. But I start thinking about when the Iraq War and we were protesting that, and there were, I think in Santa Rosa, we had 3,000 people. I remember we did a die-in and everything. And it's so interesting when the other night when I was listening to the radio and all of a sudden I heard that all of a sudden Iraq is on the blocking board, that it was a mistake and all the stuff they're talking about. And I thought to myself, this is so interesting. The people, it feels, this is my impression, the people are always ahead of the politicians and the government. And the interesting thing is that when you look at history, at the beginning of the program, I do a history, women in history, that our history is our strength. And why our history makes us strong is because it gives us an idea of things that are happening. And it also lets us know how to prevent them from happening again. And here we are protesting, and we're hearing all this stuff about, oh, the impeachment being a hoax, you know, the Constitution is a hoax. You know, folks, don't listen to that. I mean, we were right about the Iraq War. We should have never been there. Look at this, trillions of dollars wasted. People march. If the politicians would have had the political will not to go forward with that, we would not be in the mess that we are today. So here we are with a president, and then also when Ken and I were talking that I didn't realize, when a president is impeached, he is impeached, period. There's no going back. But the whole idea of the trial is to remove him from office or to see if that whatever that he's been charged with is severe enough that he should be removed. So,
that's
so that's why, you know, a trial becomes very important. And I don't know if I had the right sense, but because he's been impeached, there's a level of guilt there. So when he goes to trial, what he is, he's trying to defend himself, and I don't understand why they're not coming forward. But that's something that I don't know if we should talk about right now.
Well, go ahead. The people at the march were not angry. It wasn't a protest. It was... I would characterize it as a message of support, not just a message of support to our elected officials from Sonoma County, but a message of support for impeachment, to demonstrate in a clear and unconditional way that no matter what we hear on the news, over half of Americans, over half believe the president should have been impeached. Over half believe he should be removed from office. More people than that believe that there should be witnesses at the Senate trial and that the president should be developing a defense that is more powerful than this is all a hoax. They're lying. The Constitution doesn't apply to me. The House had an unconstitutional impeachment. Those statements are not true. There's nothing that's a hoax about the impeachment. There's nothing that's unconstitutional about the impeachment. And that's not a defense.
No, but you're absolutely you're absolutely right, and people need to understand that. And also, the idea of having a trial. I mean, if I were being charged with something, I would want to go to trial. I would want to have a trial by my peers. His peers are the Senate. You know, so all these different things that are happening, and my question is, I have two questions, and I don't think we can answer it now, but I cannot believe that Senator Mitch McConnell came out on television and said, I'm not going to be partial. I'm not going to be impartial. You know, I've had my mind made up. I'm working with the White House. I mean, I just don't understand this. So, I mean, there's a lot that has to be done. Well, you know, I really want to thank you for reporting this. It's a very, very, very important issue. And I'd like to know, are there any things following this? I mean, are there any other marches coming up? Any other things that Indivisible might be doing? And how can people find you? Do you have a website? Are you looking for members? What? Give us some ideas.
We're always looking for members, and the best way to find us is to go to IndivisibleSoCo.com on internet. We have a webpage. On that webpage, we include a very thorough regional calendar that addresses things people can do right now, today, tomorrow, next week, to address legislation, to protest for in favor of immigrant rights, all kinds of activities. Indivisible is not planning a national activity at this point, but part of that's because the next move is the Senate. The Senate has to establish how they're going to conduct the trial. And so far, they have failed to establish that. And no matter how much the Senate Majority Leader wants to blame that on the House Majority Leader, he's wrong. It's completely reasonable for the House to hold on to the articles of impeachment for a matter of weeks. Even when Clinton was impeached, there was a three-week delay before the Senate got it. You would think that Nancy Pelosi was doing something totally crazy, absurd, and unprecedented, and that every other time a president had been impeached, the articles had been sent to the Senate in 24 hours, and that is not so. So we will wait, I'm sure, until we know what's going on with the Senate trial. At that point, I hope, there will be a national effort to consistently put pressure on Democratic and Republican senators to hold a fair trial with witnesses.
And hold our president accountable. I mean, when you go to work in a job, when you go to a job, you're accountable. Well, you know, before we end,
he is working a job. He may have a lot of employers, and those employers may feel divided on the job he's doing. But you don't, in my experience, you don't hold a performance review only among the people who like you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Sabra, I want to compliment you for the way you placed this when you said this was not a protest. It was a message of support for those people to support impeachment and to do the right thing. And he was impeached. So it must have had some impact. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I also want to thank Indivisible, Sonoma County, and also all across the nation here that is doing all this hard work for all of us. And I want to say one last thing about Nancy Pelosi, because she is a woman. And you know something, I really have to commend her for the way she has stood up and the way she's handled herself. And she still had to take abuse because she's a woman. And we have to recognize that. And as women, we have to support her, because what she's bringing forward is we have a country and a constitution. And the question that we all have to ask ourselves, do we want to continue to have it or do we want to lose it? I personally do not want to lose it. I want to see it get better and better and better, because this country has great, great potential. But it's not going to happen if we continue on the path that we're on. So thank you, Nancy Pelosi, and thank you for all the folks that are doing this. And thank you so much, Sabra. I'm losing my voice. Sabra, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and I look forward to talking again in the very near future.
Anytime. I'm here in Santa Rosa enjoying the sunshine and the rain.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Wow, there's so much. There's so much to cover. I mean, this is amazing. It's amazing. And women like Sabra, I mean, my hat just goes off to them. It's just so wonderful that they're so involved and they organize all these things. And it takes a lot of work. And folks have to come out. Every mother should be on the streets with what's going on in this world. Why? Because you want a good future for your children. So I'm going to play another interesting song. I love this song. This is one of my favorite artists, Earth Mama. I just love her. And it's called What on Earth? It's a 3-minute and 5-second song. And I want to play that. And I want you to listen to the words. So go on, Ken. Let's go on with What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama.
What on earth are you doing today for tomorrow? Where on earth are you going? If we don't find a better way, every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are you doing for tomorrow today? We have the power to claim the future. We have the knowledge change our path. We have love enough to move us to a vision that can last. What on earth are we doing today for tomorrow? Where on earth are we going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are we doing for tomorrow today? Today is only a fleeting moment. Gone in the blink of an eye. But tomorrow goes on forever, like the footprints of you and I. What on earth are we doing today for tomorrow? We're going if we don't find a better way. Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are we doing for tomorrow today? Oh, what on earth are we doing for tomorrow?
Wow, I just love that song. What are we doing today for tomorrow? That's kind of the whole idea. And, you know, as women, I believe it's really important that we stand up. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And this is almost the last show of the year. We have one more show on the 30th, December 30th, and I'm happy to announce that Ken and I will be doing it together, so you'll be able to hear his voice a little bit more. And I'm also going to have an excerpt from one of his projects, his Scent of Life. We're going to hear one of his programs, which is really very, very inspirational. And also, you know, I would like folks to email me at elaine@womensspaces.com. And ask me questions. You know, what do you want to know about me? What do you want to know about Ken? What would you like us to cover when we're talking to each other? Is there something special that you'd like to say for the new year? And what I'll do is when you email me and I get the message and I use it on the air, I will give you credit. So go ahead and don't be afraid to do that. You know, one of the things that's so interesting, you know, why do I encourage women to email me? The problem that I see in this world is women are not speaking out enough. I listen to talk radio, 80% men calling in, 20% if you're lucky, if you women are calling in. I also read the our local paper. I read the letters to the editor, majority of letters from men. So women have to start speaking out. And I know it was real interesting, you know, unfortunately, my guest was not here, Alexis, from to talk about what I'm going to talk about the Sonoma Safe Schools. She was really nervous, you know, and people are nervous when they come on the air. And then when they get here, it's nothing. They just feel so calm. They've done it. They feel good about themselves. Well, that's how it feels when you speak out. You know, at first, maybe your heart's beating real fast. You know, maybe you think, oh, they're going to think I'm stupid or whatever it is. But once you do it, once you get it out, it feels so good. It really does. It feels so good to be honest, to let out your feelings, to let out what you're thinking about. But you have to be able to do it in a kind way. And one of the things also, never be afraid to ask. Never be afraid to ask somebody for a donation for your organization, or ask if you can be a speaker, or ask me if you can be on the radio. You know, asking is so important, but the most important thing is when someone says no, is just say thank you. But then you can say no, not now, no, never. You know, you can even continue the conversation. But it's so important to stand up. It really is. It's so important. Well, you know, I was going to have a young lady on the phone in the studio with me. We were going to talk about Sonoma Safe Ag Safe Schools. And there was a event that happened at the Grayton Community Club on December 4th to learn more about the risks from synthetic pesticide exposure, common health systems, and how to detox safely. You know, and they also, at that time, there's a film called Children of the Vine, which I'm doing some research because I think that movie needs to be shown a little bit more across the community. And what's really interesting is that in Grayton's community campaign is called GASP, G-A-S-P, Grayton Against Synthetic Pesticide. They're working with local farmers to eliminate the use of synthetic pesticides by this year, by 2020 that we're coming up on. And then there's also another program, and I really believe people should look, you know, they have a website that's so long that forget about it. Just go on to www.womenspaces.com, and I'm going to have it all listed. But there's these Safe Ag, Safe Schools. It's called SASS, S-A-S-S. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot from the youth. It's a coalition of over 50 organizations and individuals working together to reduce the threat of pesticide exposure in the area, particularly the Monterey Bay area. And also they're focused on increasing grassroots pressure on policymakers to reduce hazardous pesticide use and around schools and residential communities. Now, is that important? It's extremely important. So I just wanted to bring that about and to let folks know about it. And, you know, we have about three minutes left, Ken. I would like to, you know, I found this song by Brenda Lee. It's the fourth one on the tape there, on the CD, Ken. And it's called Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And, you know, most of the stuff we talk about is so heavy, you know, and there's so much to think about. I love this song by Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. So we're going to go ahead and play it, and we may end the show as we go out. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to wish you a merry, merry, merry holiday season, that you have enjoy your family, enjoy your life. And, of course, if you are celebrating Christmas, which I am with my family, I send you out a hearty, hearty Merry Christmas. So let's go ahead, Ken, and let's play that song. And looking forward to hearing from you with the questions. Again, the email is Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at womensspaces.com. Two S's in the middle. Okay, let's go. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rockin' around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly bedfellows with boughs of holly, rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Well, that's one of my favorite songs for Christmas. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. And I want to send out an old-fashioned Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to all my listeners out there. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful life. Remember that. And remember, we're celebrating the Prince of Peace. Every little thing that you do makes a difference.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 23rd, 2019.